As we get started this morning, I want to take a moment to lead us in prayer, not only for our time in 2 Peter, but also to lift up a dear sister in the Lord. Mary Nigro has been a long, long time part of this church, just in the fabric of things here, she and Richard, for many years. And Mary is struggling with her health right now. And she's in the hospital. She had pneumonia in both lungs, and there have been some setbacks. And I haven't received word from the three sisters yet, but they were to meet together at the hospital this morning at 9:30 with the doctors to talk about decisions and next steps, etc. So I want to lift up Mary and the Nigro family to the Lord as we get started. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, Mary is, she's just one of those people. She is a delight. What an encouragement to everyone she comes in contact with. She has been an amazing example to me, teaching me the ledger so far tilted of what she's taught me through the years. And Lord, right now she's struggling in her health, and you know where she is exactly. We remember what the psalmist says, our times are in your hand. We remember what the psalmist says, our days are numbered when as yet there was not one of them. So every moment right now that she has is in your hands. And so we just lift up this precious family to you. Undoubtedly the conversation may be continuing, but it's already begun with the three daughters and just about what's next. And so, Lord, we don't know what's next, but you do. And as I've mentioned once before already this morning, I pray for wisdom for this precious family. I lift them up to you. Pray that they can make good decisions. And Lord, we know that you give wisdom to all of us who ask in faith without doubting, without reproach you give it. So Lord, I pray you'd give wisdom and perhaps more importantly that you'd give comfort and peace and encouragement. And one of the passages, Lord, that I know I personally have clung to most closely the last 2.5 years in some of our own family's path has been 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, but in particular 4, where it says that what is seen is transient, what is not seen is eternal, that these momentary light afflictions are working in us a glory that's eternal. And that though the outer person is decaying, the inner person is being renewed day by day. So here's what I know for a fact, that Mary and you are having an amazing renewal experience together. That you are taking her and renewing her day by day. If we believe that's true, and we do, then you right now are renewing her in a way that's incredible in her inner person. Even if her outer person is decaying, as the scripture says. And so we pray that in that experience, in that communication, in that intimacy that you have with her and she with you, that it would be a sweet, precious time of encouragement to her. And that she would draw strength from you and put her hope in you. And we know, all of us who know her know that's right where it is. And so we lift up this precious family to you. We thank you for them, and we trust you, Lord. You're a good God. Your purposes are always right. And so we look to you. And in the same way, we look to you in this service, this hour, as we continue in our worship. Our worship didn't somehow end with music. It continues in preaching. I pray that our hearts would be tuned to be worshipful to you in the preaching of the word, and that you would open our eyes, that your spirit we would give free rein to the Spirit to do what He does, which is to illuminate truth, to guide in truth, and to give us direction and strength to walk it out, as the series title says. And so it's with great anticipation and joy that we come to your word this morning, 2 Peter. Thank you for 2 Peter. Thank you for Peter. What an example he is. Who of us in this room can't relate to Peter? And we just thank you that he, by your Spirit, wrote this marvelous book that we have the privilege of opening these next weeks. We commit it to you and thank you in advance for all that you will do. And may Jesus, that great shepherd, the head of this church, be glorified. And we pray it in his name. Amen. If you have strength enough to do so this morning, I'd be grateful if you'd stand with me in the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have that strength, that's no problem. Join in with us from your seats. That's great. But just read aloud with me these first 15 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. So come along with me if you would, please. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my... Let's try that again, verse 15 all together now. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Amen. You may take your seats. I guess I prove my limit is that I cannot get it through it two times in one day. So, what a great passage. What a marvelous, marvelous passage that is, 2 Peter. I want to begin this morning by talking about the background of the book and giving us just a sense of who this is that's writing and why, and kind of how it follows on from 1 Peter. And so, first of all, and I'll just do that as I'm so prone to do by just letting the verses of the text kind of give you the answers to the background of the book. First, 2 Peter 1:1 says Simeon Peter. Now, that's a synonym for Simon Peter. It can be used interchangeably. So Simeon or Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, etc. So first and foremost, we see who's writing. It's Simon Peter. Now, many have wondered after the fact whether it was truly Simon Peter who wrote. I think it's always at least the first best way to interpret Scripture is by letting Scripture just speak plainly and clearly for itself. And it says to us here, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, too. So Peter's writing. Who's he writing to? To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice Peter gives a little bio sketch of two qualities about himself. He's a servant, so he wants to make clear to us that he's serving the Lord. That word is really like bondservant. He's a servant in the service of the Lord, but he's also an apostle, so he kind of pulls out the fact that he's got authority, an authority of a unique kind, the kind that is that of an apostle who actually had contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and walked with him. So that same Peter, it's important to see that when we see the next phrase, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. So he's not some elite guy saying, now y'all who are below me. He's just telling us what his background is and who he is and what his experience has been. But all have who are in Christ have a faith of equal standing. I love that. And why is that true? The next phrase helps us understand why. Because it's not dependent on status, achievement, what you can say you did, who you knew. Equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation is the fact that Jesus has died for our sins and been raised again, and in so doing, we stand before God, not with our own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is what gives us standing before God. And so he opens up in this way and kind of sets the scene for that. And then in verse 14 of chapter 1, Peter says this, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. That's a fancy way of saying, I know I'm going to die, and the word soon there is imminently. I'm going to die imminently. Now, I don't know exactly what that means in this passage other than it means it could happen at any time, and the Lord's already said so. And so let me remind you of what the Lord Jesus himself actually did say about Peter and his death and about his ministry. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to him, follow me. So I suspect from about one generation previously, this was probably in the early to mid-30s when Jesus has been crucified, been resurrected, and you may remember the scene. They're on the beach, and he's tenderly confronting Peter, if you will, three times saying, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, etc., bringing back Peter's memory of his denial of Jesus. And he's telling him, you're going to die. This is, he said, to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. But he says, follow me. Over in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, Jesus says this, and this was likely before, well, this was before that other scene. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Now, in typical Peter fashion, he says to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I think Peter's 100% sincere in what he's saying there. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. But here's the beautiful silver lining of this passage. Go back up a few verses where it, on the middle of the screen where it says there, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You know, that gave me such encouragement this week as I contemplated and pondered the way the Lord Jesus, the heart of the Lord Jesus, and the way he uses people. And Peter denied him three times in the crucial moments of Jesus' life, right before his crucifixion. And Jesus already knows that that's going to happen, and he says, when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. What a tender, gracious, merciful God he is. Well, that gives context to what we see back in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is Peter now again talking. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. I can just imagine that Peter is thinking of the words of Jesus where he said, "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." What is he doing in 1st and 2nd Peter? Strengthening his brothers. Absolutely. Stirring them up. Stirring their sincere minds by way of reminder. And then, as you may recall, in 1 Peter, we saw sort of a capper statement at the end of the book in 1 Peter 5:12, which said this, this is the true grace of God, stand firm in it. Now note what Peter says in 1 Peter, it's stand firm in grace. Remember, the context of that letter is in the midst of trials, in the midst of persecution, stand firm in grace. Look what he says at the end of 2 Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to take an even deeper look at the book of 2 Peter, look at the bookend verses of the book. 2 Peter 1:2 says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So in 2 Peter, make no mistake about it, he is wanting to see that we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, and that he wants to see that grace and peace be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If you'll allow me to nerd out for just a moment, I think this is important for you to see in the language of how these are written. Look in verse chapter 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "Grow in the grace." Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when it was written in its original Greek language, it was written in the present active tense and voice. Present means he's saying grow, like right now. And when he said it, when you read it again, he's still saying it, grow. And the voice is active, which means you do it. He's writing to people and he's saying, y'all, grow. It's no more complicated than that. He says, grow in grace. It's an active, imperative command. Grow in grace and knowledge. But then back in 2 Peter 1:2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You can even get a sense of it just from the way the English renders it. But in the original language, it's called the aorist passive optative. I know these are big words, but important. What it means is, aorist means it's happened at some point in the past, but it has continuing action. So grace and peace being multiplied to us is already settled. It's already occurred through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it's got continuing action in our lives. Passive means it's done on us or to us or in us. It doesn't mean that we do it. And then optative really just means of a greatest yearning or greatest wish. So Peter's like opening up the letter in this tone and voice and mood of greatest intensity and wish. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Kind of reminds me of where the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation, your own salvation with fear and trembling." Same idea there. Work it out. Walk it out. Work out your salvation. It's a command. Do it. And then look what it says. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So the inclination and the will that I have to do what God wants me to do and the follow through to do it comes from God. So Scripture is clear, and I think we do well not to confuse the matter, but just live with both. And that is, we are to work it out, we are to walk it out, and we should know that the only way that's possible and the only action that's really happening is God's doing it in and through us. He gives us the will to do it. He gives us the follow-through to do it. And so he gets the glory for all of it. And so it's an important background because as Peter in 2 Peter is very action-oriented, we're going to need to remember that he commands us to walk. He commands us to walk it out. He commands us to do, to work things out. And we should know that it's only possible in and through Jesus Christ. This is Peter's swan song, his last letter. Like I was mentioning, he walked with Jesus in the early to mid-30s. He's probably writing this in the mid to late 60s AD, and he's probably within a few years at most of being executed, as tradition would have it. And so, you know, of all the things he could be saying, these are his last recorded words to us. Think about a person who knows the end is in sight. They like to begin to say the most important things. If you remember anything I've said, remember this. I remember that being the case with both of my folks, how they would communicate as they knew the end was in sight, the most important things, dear things to us. This is what Peter is doing. He is telling us what matters most. And so I pose the question to all of us today, just as Peter is challenging us to walk out growing in grace, as God multiplies grace and peace to us in the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Where are you walking? Where am I walking today? It's important for us to consider the question of trajectory and direction. It's an old illustration, but it's very pertinent. If you think about setting a destination and you know you want to get there, like let's say I want to go to that back door on the corner of this auditorium, but I set my course a little bit, a few degrees to the left of the door, I can start out and you'd be looking at me and going, you're on your path, man, you're walking toward the door, but where will I be in the end? Will I be at the door? I won't be. I will be somewhere other than my destination. So where are you walking today? That's the challenge question for us throughout this series as we consider what Peter is asking us or is challenging us with to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Well, one of the most mundane and common ways I walk out life is occasionally getting in the kitchen. Now, in my family, I don't do it too much because I want to keep good relationships with everybody. But basically, in our kitchen, we have this prized possession. I've mentioned my parents this morning. And so I think about the best recipe ever, hence the title of the sermon. And this morning's passage is in a recipe motif. And before I jump into the biblical scriptural recipe, I wanted to share with you about a recipe in our own home. And it comes out of this cookbook right here. And I need to turn this way so I can see it. It says, "With love from my kitchen." And it's kind of dingy and grimy. And down there you can see a little sheep sticker that's sort of pulling up on the edges. And you can barely read the writing on that, but it says Shirley Bryan. And what my mom did for all three of her daughters-in-law, and this was sort of like all at once intimidating and sweet, she hand wrote an entire cookbook full of the recipes that each of her sons loved the most that she cooked. So the daughters were probably like, thank you. Oh my gosh, the bar. I mean... And so this is the recipe book that she gave Lauren, and we've worn that thing out. Lauren reminded me this morning when I was telling her that I was going to put this slide up there. She said, your mom used to tell me that that thing's going to get stained and frayed, and those are called character marks. And so this has lots of character marks. And inside of it, there's a recipe. There's a lot of recipes. This is in the dessert section, and it happens to maybe be the best recipe ever. And if up there it says recipe for Hello Dollies, now I have to ask, who's had a Hello Dolly before? Okay, for those of you who haven't raised your hands, it will change your life. I mean, seriously. Okay? And so what it says here is, and it's foundation, so you know we're going to talk in a second about start with the proper and precise perspective and then get your power flow in order, etc. The first line of the recipe says melt one stick butter or oleo. Oleo, isn't that like an underappreciated substance? Butter or oleo? My goodness. I can feel the paddles on my chest as I'm reading this. Okay, melt one stick butter or oleo in a 9x13 pan in the oven. Place following layers on top of melted butter in this order. This makes me just laugh out loud when I read this. 1 cup of graham cracker crumbs, 1 package of can of coconut, 1 package of chocolate chips, 1 package of butterscotch chips, 1 can of Eagle brand milk. Drizzle it over everything as evenly as possible, and 1 cup chopped pecans. Oh, amazing! I'm telling you, change your life stuff. It says, bake 25 to 30 minutes in a 350-degree oven, let cool and cut. And then my favorite part, and my mom would do this, she'd write little personalized things on some of the recipes, and at the bottom, you may not be able to make it out, but she writes there, Eric will be putty in your hands if you make these for him occasionally. I love it. So I've kind of got a love-hate relationship with that recipe because I do want to be putty in my wife's hands as much as possible. But at the same time, if I eat those things, I mean, it would be worse than even it is now. So anyway, the best recipe ever, right? Well, Scripture has for us really the best recipe ever. And the Apostle Peter really puts this in the form of like a recipe and the ingredients of a recipe. And he says, start with proper and precise perspective. Get your power flow in order. Add ingredients progressively. For all of the above, stir constantly. And then walk it out. What are your next steps? Start with proper and precise perspective. Get your power flow in order. Add ingredients progressively. And for all of the above, stir constantly. And then walk it out. So let's do just that. Let's start with proper and precise perspective. And I think Peter sort of lays that out for us in verses 1 and 2. There we have the passage again. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he level sets everything at the front. This is all about the Lord Jesus, about the equality of salvation of all who are in Christ, that he has saved. And then he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word multiplied is from some root words that mean something like multitude or full. So you can get a word, kind of a picture of grace and peace being kind of in multitude volume, full, be multiplied to you in the knowledge. And this word knowledge in this second verse, and we'll see it show up in some other spots in 2 Peter, is called epignosis. Now, you also see the just word gnosis in there, which is knowledge, but this has got a prefix to it which sort of amplifies the word, and it means it's a full, true knowledge. And these words, knowledge and know, in their various forms, occur throughout the book 16 times. And so, just my quick eye count of the verses 21 and 22... and 18, so that's 61 verses. So out of 61 verses, 16 times the words knowledge or know are mentioned throughout this short letter. And so it's important for us to know that that's an important theme of the book. So we start with the proper and precise perspective, a faith that grounds all of us at the cross in level, and grace and peace being multiplied to us in this full true knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then get our power flow in order. Verses 3 and following. His divine power. The word power is dunamis, spelled like dynamis, which sounds like what? Dynamite. It gives us a great word picture for his power. This incredible God-sourced dynamite power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is the way the writers used to write, it's probably the way we would say, for all things that pertain to a godly life. So God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I love the word granted there. Again, in its original rendering, it means basically an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past, once and for all, not to be repeated. Completed in the past once for all, not needing to be repeated. So God's divine power has granted to us once and for all, not needing to be repeated, all things that pertain to a godly life. And then let's keep our prepositional phrases straight here. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So all things that pertain to life and godliness coming from God's power through what? The knowledge of him. How do we get knowledge of the Lord? Probably the best place, not probably, the best place of the knowledge of the Lord is right here in the Word. From the outset, Peter's talking a lot about the knowledge of God, and we must go to the Word to get the knowledge of God. And so through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, these probably means this knowledge of His own, who called us by His own glory and excellence, His glory and excellence, but it could include also His divine power and all these things pertaining to life and godliness. By these things, He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. Again, an allusion to what God has said to us. And if we'll see later in the letter that it's going to talk about false teachers and judgment to come. And 1 Peter talked about persecutions and trials. And it's crucial for us to remember the promises of God in the face of all of these things, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, sharers in that divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I forgot to mention back up in verse 1, it says, a faith of equal standing with ours. Think of Peter. Think of who he was, an apostle for crying out loud. He walked with the Lord. Later on in verse chapter 1, he's going to talk about his experience with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he saw the Lord Himself, one of a limited number of people in that moment that got to see Him. And he's saying, a faith of equal standing with ours. Wow! And through all these things, we may become partakers of the divine nature, this intimacy with God, this knowing and experiencing His quality, His character, His attributes, His nature, His path, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So this is our power flow. And then we start putting the ingredients. We grab our pot and we start with faith, which really you could say is what has just been described in these first four verses. And the ingredients build from faith at the base to the pinnacle of love at the end of verse 7. And there's seven ingredients that you add. Now, does it mean that you have to add them in this exact sequence? Sometimes recipes are that way. And my mom's Hello Dolly recipe said, put them in this order. And I can assure you, you should, right? But in this case, yes, they're listed. Probably the most important part of the order is start with faith, end with love. But all these are important. Does it mean you have to master one before you move to the next? I don't think so. You start with faith, and with it you add virtue, moral excellence. Is a way of describing that. And to your virtue or moral excellence, knowledge, which is that more common use of the word knowledge. Build yourself up in scriptural knowledge. And then in knowledge, self-control. Self-control has the idea of a mastery of desires and passions, especially one's sensual appetites. So self-control, and to self-control, add steadfastness. And steadfastness has this idea of perseverance, endurance, constancy. And to steadfastness, godliness, which is what you probably think it is, reverence for God. And to godliness, brotherly affection, which is about the horizontal relationships of love with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, brotherly affection with love. And that's the word agape. Even if you haven't been in church much, you may have heard of that use of that Greek word in our culture, and it's this love that's affection, goodwill, benevolence. Some call it a lasting love, a true love. And so take your pot, start with faith, add the ingredients progressively to get to love. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been mentioned more than once, something about today about, you know, you don't just soak it all in, but you give it out. And that word ineffective means something along the lines of being lazy or free from work. And Peter, again, is saying, that's not what I'm writing about. I'm writing about the opposite. So when these qualities are yours and they're increasing, superabounding is the idea there, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then He keeps on talking about these ingredients, and he says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted. The word there is like the same word where we get the word myopia, who's so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. It reminds me a little bit of the great theologian Dolly Parton, who says, find out who you are and do it on purpose. You know, it's who we are is we're in Christ. We've already been cleansed from our former sins. We've already got a faith of equal standing with the Apostle Peter, for crying out loud. What's been settled already is that grace and peace are being multiplied to us through God. So find out who we are and do it on purpose. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted he's blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to take verses 10 and 11 for a moment together. And lest anyone think that Peter is preaching some sort of works-based salvation here or the possibility of loss of salvation, I refer you back again to verse 1, which says, who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's a settled issue. He's writing to people who have security of their faith. But what he's saying is, when you walk it out, when you work it out, and I'm calling you to work it out, says Peter, these are the ways that you, with diligence, earnestness, haste, confirm your calling and election. That God himself, in his sovereignty, has called those who will be saved and has elected those who will be saved. And it's his business. It's his salvation. He does these things. And as we walk in the newness of life that he is giving us, we practice these things. We confirm our calling and election. And in this way, there will be richly provided for us an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the home stretch of verses 12 through 15, it says, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up. I love that word stir up. It sort of means to wake up or arouse. It's like somebody's sleeping and it says, wake up. And it's really a nautical word. It reminds us of the sea where that begins to be agitated or stirred up or rising tides. So Peter's speaking with intensity here. I think it's right, as long as I'm still here, to stir you up by way of reminder. He's just doing what the Lord Jesus told him to do, to strengthen the brothers. Since I know I'm putting off my body will be soon, and as our Lord Jesus made clear to me, and I'll make every effort. What he's saying is, when I'm dead and gone, you're going to be able to recall these things. That's my goal. That's my wish. That's my hope. Now, it says that for recipes, I did, to finish our exposition of the text, for recipes, I looked up in Google this week, I Googled this week. I sound like such a technical dork when I said that. I looked up in Google. Okay. I Googled recipes and stirring, and it talks about stirring occasionally, frequently, or constantly. Now, and again, back in the kitchen with me, maybe that's the next behind the scenes we should do with J-Paw and Gigi, Eric in the kitchen. That would be a disaster. And so we, you know, when it says stir occasionally, even if the recipe says that in my kitchen, you know what it means for me? Single track mind, stare at the pot. Okay, I'm going to stir it some more, stare at the pot. Here's what it means for Lauren. She's such a hard worker. I'm so impressed by her. She stirs a little, she mops the whole kitchen floor. She comes back and stirs some more. She answers one of our kids or friends' questions. She stirs a little more, she vacuums the front hallway, and then she stirs and she pulls it out. And for some reason, it's just the same as when I stare at the pot. That's not what Peter's talking about here, about occasionally. He's talking about stir constantly. One of the values of us gathering together, it says in Hebrews 10:24, is that we can stir up one another, provoke one another to love and good works. Hold fast the confession of our faith, it says previous to that. And so Peter says, I'm doing it. I want you to do it. I'm going to stir it up so that when I'm gone, you're going to be able to recall these things. So let's finish with our connection card points, our next steps. How do we walk it out as we move through this book? And so grab your connection card, get a digital copy of it through the code here or however you get it, and let's take a look at the next steps. The first is this: I want to know God. That sounds basic. It sounds kind of, you know, churchish, Sunday schoolish, but look what it says in verse 2 of the book, chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here's my suspicion. In a church setting like this, if I said to you, and I took a poll, I said, who here wants to know God more? I bet I get almost every hand up in the air. And I, so I put these next steps together in order on purpose. So let's just assume you're going to raise your hand and say, I want to know God. Next step number one. How about this next one? I'll engage the Bible. How do we get to know God? Through the Word. Now, I'm not here today to tell you, read your Bible 7 days this week. I'm not here to tell you, read this many chapters this week. I'm here to tell you, proactively get in the Word this week. I want to encourage you before the Lord that you guys will work out, you and the Lord will work out how you will engage the Bible proactively this week. How can one say, I want to know God better and not go where you know Him, where you can know Him? You can't. And so the next step after that first one is engaging the Bible proactively this week. If you need help knowing how to do that more, holler up here to the church at us. It would be our delight to help out. Third, I'll identify tangible ways to add the recipe's ingredients. Remember what those are? Faith, add virtue, add knowledge, add self-control, add steadfastness, add godliness, add brotherly affection, add love. You know, my dear father-in-law watches online from Texas most of the time. And during our first Peter series, I came across a passage in my preaching, and it was a kind of a list passage of some qualities that we are called to in our Christian walk. And he printed those out and put them near his desk so he could be reminded of them. This would be a perfect thing for anybody to print out. To my faith, add virtue, add knowledge, add self-control, add steadfastness, add godliness, add brotherly affection, add love. And then ask the Lord to show you what are tangible ways. What's a way that you can work in my life for more self-control, Lord? And what steps do I need to take so that that's really going to play out? What about steadfastness? What about brotherly affection? How can I show that quality to someone else this week? And then finally, I'll stir up myself and others in these things. Keep on challenging, admonishing, exhorting, encouraging one another in these things, because we all are walking it out. Where are you walking? And I love you all, and one of the joys of my heart is to be able to open up the Word so we together can see where God is leading us as we walk out the truth of His Word. God bless you. Looking forward to this series. Take care.
Thank you so much, Pastor Eric. Let's all stand together. Join in with us.